You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm pleased to be joined in this broadcast with the pastor of Lagos Church, Caleb Moore. Many of our listeners may know columnist Walker Moore, and Caleb, you are his son, and you are doing ministry in Oklahoma, and it's a pleasure to have you on this broadcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, talk about a little bit what God put on your heart for this church you're working with, and maybe some of the specific ministry focus you all have.
Yeah, absolutely. I never thought that when God was calling me to plant a church that I would end up in Tulsa, because quite frankly, there seemed to be a church on every street corner. And I thought I was going to end up somewhere in Maldives or some foreign place and do underground church, but most of my friends are lost. And I kept trying to get them to go to church in Tulsa while I was living in Bristow, and they just wouldn't do it. They said, hey, we tried, we've gone to one or two. They don't get us. They're young guys. Most of them aren't married. They like tattoos and motorcycles. And they just could never find a place. And they used to joke, say, well, if you ever came to Tulsa and started a church, we'd go to that one. And so over a period of time, God kept bringing that up into my mind. And I was like, well, even though this is the last place I thought I would ever go to be a pastor, I started to pray about it. And God started to open all these different doors and avenues. And my wife and I actually came to Tulsa, and we visited a bunch of the new church plants. And, you know, nothing against those church plants, but I just recognized they weren't speaking the language that I spoke and the language that my friends spoke. That there was just kind of a relational disconnect there. And so we began to contemplate, maybe this is the place. And through the people that I've surrounded me with, the wise counsel that I got, that sure enough, this is where God called me to. So we moved to Tulsa. I quit my job and bought a house in the same week, and that can be a little stressful. I got a stomach ulcer from it. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm not exactly sure what to do. So I drove around, and I passed by a tattoo parlor and a motorcycle shop. And there was two times where the Lord just kind of laid on my heart that maybe this is a place I could go and serve. So I started to just kind of volunteer my time, washing windows at the motorcycle shop and taking pizza into the tattoo parlor to try to build those relationships. 3 years later now, I've married some of those people. I've got some of them coming to the church. I'll go and actually spend hours at a time at the tattoo parlor just talking about God, who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross. So I've just been able to go in places where I've never run into another minister. And these people, it was not just the young men that we decided that God was calling us to reach, even though young men between the ages of 18 and 35 are the most unreached people group in the U.S., but actually those who dislike church. So we've kind of adopted the label that was given to us, that we're a church for people who don't like church.
Oh, how about that? Well,
yeah,
you really seem to have found a niche and know who it is you're wanting to minister to. You know, could you talk about the selection of the name of your church and maybe some of the branding, if I could borrow a marketing term, about how you would present yourself to people?
Yeah, we picked the name Logos just basically because we wanted our church to be totally Christ-centered. Every single thing we do, it's about Jesus. Always been about Jesus, always be about Jesus. And, of course, from John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That Word is the word Logos, or as we just call it, Logos, because in Oklahoma, if you say Logos, they're going to, you say, what? What was that? If I say Logos, they at least can kind of get an idea. So
yes.
That was just the name we picked. As far as branding, we, quite frankly, we've strictly grown relationally. We did do a billboard at one time, and we host a tattoo Tulsa conference. But we kind of stay in the background. We don't put it out there that this is Logos Church doing this. And what Tattoo Tulsa is we get all the different artists from all the different tattoo shops, and we close off a street downtown, and we let them display their artwork. Not on people, but on canvas and sculpting. And these people have great God-given abilities to paint and express themselves in that way. And Oklahoma was the last state to legalize that, and there's a lot of people in that field that think it was because of religious reasons, so they just dislike church to begin with. So what we did is we got them all together, and by doing that, I got to build relationships with the owners and artists at every single tattoo shop in Tulsa. So it's essentially a way of us bridging that gap and saying, hey, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you're covered in, that we love you regardless. And then we use that opportunity to share about Jesus, repentance of sin, forgiveness of sin, and how to come to relationship with him. So as far as branding, in just a very small way, we have the billboard that we did, but basically it's kind of guerrilla marketing, I guess you would say, where it's just individual grass movement, one-on-one, get to know people.
That's fantastic. Now, Caleb, could you talk about your own personal story and maybe how it ties into your heart's passion for these people you're reaching for Christ?
Absolutely. You know, my dad, Walker Moore, was a minister, and I was I'm pretty sure I'm the one who started the whole minister's kid thing. Being a preacher's kid's a bad thing, you know, that we're going to be a little bit rebellious. I can't take full blame, but I think I played a good part in that. I was quite rebellious. I grew up asking a lot of questions, and my Sunday school teachers didn't quite know how to handle it. In fact, there was a point where they called my dad and said maybe it wasn't a good idea if I didn't come to Sunday school because I just asked too many questions, which I found quite strange. I find myself around the age of 17 going to different churches. I found a youth minister that I really liked, and he took me under his wings, and I was on a mission trip, and while I was there, this is quite harsh, but I found out that he had killed himself. He had sat in a garage with the Bible in one hand and a gun in another and took his own life because he had impregnated his babysitter. And at that moment, I walked away from church completely. I didn't understand how, A, this could happen, how God could allow that to happen, how somebody who professed to be a Christian could be that way. And I just entered into a time of just despair. I was totally broken. And I went around still trying to seek and find answers. I knew there had to be a God, even though at that time I was calling myself an atheist. I still believed in my heart of hearts that there was a God. So I went to all these different churches trying to find it. And I just found no one was willing to get their hands dirty and invest in my life. That the people I would meet, the pastors, the youth pastors, it was a very shallow relationship. And I could never find somebody to actually disciple me and invest the long term. So I spent years just kind of twirling in the wind, and then there was a couple of good godly guys, and my dad being one of them, who decided to, you know what, we're going to get our hands dirty. And God did a miraculous work in my life, completely broke me, brought me back to him, put the right people around me. I got into apologetics where I actually, you know, could love God with my mind, which I had never heard of apologetics my entire life growing up. I never knew that, you know, things like logic, reason, and science all point to God. I thought it was just blind faith. And so I really began to get hungry for truth. God led me down a path where he had me volunteering to teach, and I never thought I would go into the ministry. You know, somebody who grows up the son of a minister is the last thing you want to do, and I found that teaching brought me more joy than anything I'd ever done in my life. So I decided ministry was my call, and I knew what kind of minister I wanted to be. I wanted to be somebody that invested long-term. You know, I want to be the kind of guy that does a child's baptism when they get saved at a young age, and then I want to do their wedding, and then I want to baptize their grandkids when they're old enough to get saved. You know, so I want to be the kind of guy that stays around for a long time and invests in the deep levels.
That's an incredible story, Caleb, and I knew some of that, but it blessed my heart to hear that God never stopped pursuing you. Even when you had been at your farthest point. Now, you've had opportunity to use your apologetics learning and take on some of the skeptics. Could you talk about that and maybe some blessings you've seen from that?
Yeah, I just recently debated. He was the president of the Free Thinker Society of New York. And it's kind of interesting. It was one of my first kind of official debates. And that was fun, but it, for me, that's more of trying to prove who's right and prove the other person wrong. And what I think apologetics is for is not to win arguments, but to win people.
Amen.
And one of my favorite aspects of that is God has laid on my heart Mormons. And if I see a Mormon that drives down the road, I don't care if I'm bleeding on the hospital. I'm going to pull over and get their information to call them later. But there is an LDS church not too far from my house, and I've been blacklisted. They no longer come to our neighborhood, so I saved the whole neighborhood from false witness. But I love to engage them. I recently returned from Salt Lake City a couple of months ago, but I believe truth wins out, and I believe these people are lost, and they think they're found, and they believe the lie. And so what I love to do is not just argue with them, but I want to engage them through Scripture about how they're saved, who God is, and how they can come to know Him. And not too long ago, there was about five or six that were sitting at a Quick Trip, and they were just getting ready to split up and go to different places. And I asked, I said, hey, could I visit with you? And they asked what I did, and at that time, our church was meeting at Parkview Baptist. They said, oh, we would love to see your church. So I took them to Parkview Baptist, and I kind of gave them a little tour. And then we sat down, and we had a Bible study for about 3 hours where they didn't say a word. I kept asking questions, but they had no answers. And so I just got to open up from Scripture and give them truth that they had never heard before. And one of the guys said to me, he says, you know, it's possible that God brought me up in Mormonism, then brought me on my mission, and then brought me all the way to Tulsa just so I could sit here, because it's possible I might not always be a Mormon. And for him to say that in front of this other missionary people was absolutely paradigm shift happening in front of us. I gave him a Bible, and I gave him Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, a big copy of it. That was my own copy, and I wrote my number in there. I'm still waiting to hear from that young man to call when he is on his way of leaving the LDS Church.
You mentioned your church is specifically, intentionally Christ-centered, but I hear in your heart and in your ministry and your example that you really are trying to follow the path of Jesus, who did the unexpected and talked to the unpredictable and the outcast. Would you say that that's been the calling card for you in your ministry, is going where others may not or might be hesitant or fearful?
Well, I don't think that's my calling. I think that's calling of Christianity in general. I spoke at a church not too long ago, and a lady said, oh, I think it's so great you go into those tattoo parlors. I can never do that and talk to those people, as though they were somehow more fallen than she was before her salvation. And I just never understood that. I don't know how we can get so caught up in our own religiosity that we forget that we were just as lost as anybody else. So I think it's just healthy to remember that we're all fallen, and we were just as far away from God as everyone else around us. And the fact that I never run into other Christians in these places, I think speaks volumes of where the church is at, and that we need to relearn how to engage a lost and dying culture, that we need to have that passion for the lost.
Amen. That's well said, Caleb, and appreciate you coming on. If someone wanted to learn more about your ministry, is there an online site they could go to?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can go to logostulsa.org, L-O-G-O-S. Tulsa.org.
Well, blessings to you and your family and your church, and I just pray that we all hear what the words you're saying and rethink about how we're doing ministry and who we're talking to and meeting. And it's just been a real honor to talk to Caleb Moore, who is pastor of Logos Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Caleb, thanks again for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.